This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salallahu alayhi wa sallam wa rasulullah ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala thumma amma ba'd, to proceed. This will be the second session on the chapter of al-iqrar. Acknowledgement or confession. Imam Qudamah rahimahullah said in his book al-umda, wa asahhu iqraru al-maridi bid-dayni li ajnabi. ولا يصح إقراره في مرض الموت لوارث إلا بتصديق سائر الورثة. The acknowledgement by a terminally ill person in favor of non-inheritors is valid, but one in favor of an heir is not valid unless the other heirs concur. If he acknowledges, let's explain this first. So, you are in your terminal illness, and someone who is not related, who is not an heir, who will not inherit from you, comes by, and you acknowledge that you owe them money. Would we accept this acknowledgement in your terminal illness?
Yes.
Yep. We will accept this acknowledgement. If you say that this money that I have is actually luqata, I found it and I didn't announce it, we will have to accept it. Because that is not in favor of one of your heirs, so that we suspect favoritism here. If you say to one of your heirs, I owe him money, and he's one of your heirs, you say to one of your children, you say to about your whatever sister, if she will inherit something, I owe them money, we will not accept that, because we will suspect favoritism. When will it be accepted? If the other heirs concur. Yes, we acknowledge that or agree. So that's the first statement he made here. Then he said, وَلَوْ أَقَرَّ لِوَارِثٍ فَصَارَ غَيْرَ وَارِثٍ لَمْ يَصَحَّ وَإِنْ أَقَرَّ لَهُ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ وَارِثٍ ثُمَّ صَارَ وَارِثًا صَحَّ إِقْرَارُ. Then he says, if he acknowledges a right in favor of an heir who later becomes a non-inheritor, the acknowledgement is not valid. However, if he acknowledges a right in favor of a non-inheritor who later becomes an heir, the acknowledgement is valid. So what does that mean? I have no children. I do have, but, you know, presume that I have no children. And I have a brother. No children. And I don't have a father. Because, father passed away. So my brother will inherit. If I acknowledge money to my brother, acknowledge that I owe him money, but, you know, I have no children, and after the acknowledgement I die, like, let's say in 12 months after the acknowledgement, okay, or 3 months, or maybe one day, and in this one day I have a child, you know. So 3 days later after this acknowledgement, I have a child. Okay, so at the time of my death, my brother is not an inheritor. Will this acknowledgement be valid? Because at the time of my death, he's not an inheritor. No, because what matters is the time of acknowledgement. Keep in mind that this is controversial in the madhab. And there is another narration in the madhab that what matters is the time of death. But, and we, when we talked about atiyat al-marid, or the gift of the terminally ill, we did talk about this. But when it comes to acknowledgement, the authorized position in the madhab is that what matters is the time of acknowledgement, not the time of death. Because I am suspected here that I am favoring my inheritor. I am suspected that, you know, if I'm giving to my inheritor, I would be suspecting that I'm favoring my inheritor. Now, this will not be valid. What if I have children and a brother? And at the time of acknowledgement, I acknowledge that I owe the brother money. And I have children. Okay? By the time of my death, my children had already died. So my brother, at the time of my death, is an inheritor. But at the time of acknowledgement, he was not an inheritor because I had children. You know, of course, like a boy will block my brother. Like a girl is not going to block my brother. It will be, but long story. But so let's say I have a son. I had a son here, and the son died before me. So at the time of my death, my brother was, in fact, an inheritor. This will be valid, it will be accepted. Because at the time of acknowledgement, my brother was not an inheritor. So my acknowledgement will be valid. He will be treated like anyone else. If anyone is foreign, came and claimed that I owe them money, and I acknowledged the debt, that would be acceptable. We will treat my brother just like anyone else, because he's not one of the inheritors. The other opinion is the reverse of this, the exact reverse of this. Because in the other opinion, which is the variant opinion in the madhab, that is the lesser opinion in the madhab, what matters is still the time of death, not the time of acknowledgement, like an atiyat al-marid, or the gift of the terminally ill. The authorized position is that what matters is the time of acknowledgement, not the time of death. The last point he will make in this paragraph is where he says, وَيَصِحُّ إِقْرَارُهُ بِوَارِثِ. His acknowledgement of an heir is valid. His acknowledgement of an heir is valid. So if I am terminally ill and I acknowledge that I have another child, you know, that happens, you know, not infrequently. So if I'm terminally ill and I acknowledge, disclose to my family that I actually have another child, that acknowledgement is a valid acknowledgement. It will be accepted. Then, under acknowledgements concerning the estate of the deceased, the Sheikh says, وَإِذَا كَانَ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ دَيْنٌ لَمْ يَلْزَمِ الْوَرَثَةَ الْوَفَاءُهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُخَلِّفَ تَرِكَةً فَيَتَعَلَّقَ دَيْنُهُ بِهَا فَإِنْ أَحَبَّ الْوَرَثَةُ وَفَاءَ الدَّيْنِ وَأَخْذَ تَرِكَتِهِ فَلَهُمْ ذَلِكَ. If the deceased owed a debt, the heirs are not required to pay it off unless he leaves behind an estate, in which case the debt will be paid from it. He leaves behind enough wealth to cover their debt. If the heirs wish to pay off the debt and take the estate intact, they are entitled to that. They are entitled to that. So I left a building and I also left a debt for $1 million. The building is worth $1.2 million. $1.2 million. Certainly, we will take the building and sell it and pay off the creditor. But the inheritors may say, we want the building. We will pay off the creditor the $1.2 million. It's up to them. Or let us say, we will pay off the creditor the $1 million. It's up to them. Let us say the building is worth, it's the opposite. The building is worth 1.2 million, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, forget about this. The building, the heirs will say, we will pay off the creditor, whatever it is. If it is more than the building, less than the building, we'll pay them off. And we'll keep the building. It's up to them. They have the right. Otherwise, we will sell the building. If the building is worth more than the debt, the heirs will get the rest, the difference. If the building is worth less than the debt, the creditor will take the worth, the price of the building, the value of the building, and no more, will not be entitled to any more. He cannot tell the inheritors, well, the building did not cover the debt. The building is everything the deceased left behind. The heirs will not be responsible to pay off the debt of their relative. Are they encouraged? Of course. Of course you are encouraged to pay off. Like if it is your father and your father had a debt, you're encouraged to pay off the debt of your father. Then he goes on and says, وَإِنْ أَقَرَّ جَمِيعُ الْوَرَثَةِ بِدَيْنٍ عَلَى مُوَرِّثِهِمْ ثَبَتَ بِإِقْرَارِهِمْ. If all of the heirs acknowledge a debt owed by their testator, the debt is binding because of their acknowledgement. Okay, so now someone came and claimed that the deceased had owed them $1 million and failed to produce evidence, admissible evidence in court. Then it will be left to the acknowledgement of the heirs. If all the heirs acknowledged the debt, then it is a valid acknowledgement, and we will give, we will pay the creditor off, and that's it. Let us say some of the heirs acknowledged the debt, and some did not. If you have a quorum, like you have two heirs, it will not be that are willing to testify. Then he has evidence. What if you have one heir that is willing to testify with you that you're actually owed this money? What can you do? According to the Maliki, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis, take an oath. So you have one witness and your oath, and you will be entitled. According to the Hanafis, no, they require two witnesses. But according to the majority, one witness plus your oath will entitle you. But what if one person only acknowledges? He says here, وَإِنْ أَقَرَّ بِهِ بَعْضُهُمْ ثَبَتَ بِقَدْرِ حَقِّهِ فَلَوْ خَلَّفَ ابْنَيْنِ وَمِئَتَيْ دِرْهَمٍ فَأَقَرَّ أَحَدُهُمَا بِمِئَةٍ دَيْنًا عَلَى أَبِيهِ لزمه 50 درهما فإن كان عدلا وشهد بها فللغريم أن يحلف مع شهادته ويأخذ باقيها من أخيه. If only some of them acknowledge it, it will be binding for them in proportion to their shares. If the deceased left behind 2 sons and 200 dirhams, and one of the sons acknowledges that that his father owed 100 dirhams, that son will be responsible for 50 dirhams only. If he is trustworthy and testifies in favor of the claimant may take an oath and thereby take the rest of his money from the brother. So he left behind 2 sons and $200. Each son is entitled to $100. Some creditor claimed that he is owed by the deceased $100. Then each son is responsible for 50, right? What if this son acknowledged the debt? This son did not acknowledge the debt. We would only take 50 from this son and give it to the creditor. Okay? Can you take 50 from this son and give it to the creditor? What if this son is trustworthy? His testimony is accepted in court. And he says to the claimant, I will go and testify with you. You know, my crooked brother is not going to give you the money. I'll go and testify with you. Is he encouraged to do this if it is true? Yes, of course. You know, على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين يكون غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما. So, يا الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين. So, all you who believe, stand up for the truth and be witnesses to God, even if it's against yourselves or your parents or your close kin. So you went and testified against your brother and this person, but you have to be trustworthy. Your testimony has to be accepted in court. And this person is willing to take an oath. Then we will take the 50 and give it to him based on the testimony of the one son and the oath of the claimant. Okay, that's clear. Then the sheikh said, وَإِنْ خَلَّفَ ابْنًا وَمِئَةً فَادَّعَ رَجُلٌ مِئَةً عَلَى أَبِيهِ فَصَدَّقَهُ. Because keep in mind that why are we saying this? When one of the sons acknowledged the debt, we said before, الْإِقْرَارُ حُجَّةٌ قَاصِرَةٌ, intransitive, restricted proof. His acknowledgement does not apply to his brother, unless it is a testimony, and it is testimony that's also corroborating the oath of this claimant. وَإِنْ خَلَّفَ ابْنًا وَمِئَةً فَادَّعَ رَجُلٌ مِئَةً عَلَى أَبِيهِ فَصَدَّقَهُ ثُمَّ ادَّعَ آخَرُ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ وَصَدَّقَهُ الْإِبْنُ فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي مَجْلِسٍ وَاحِدٍ فَالْمِئَةُ بَيْنَهُمَا وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي مَجْلِسَيْنِ فَهِيَ لِلْأَوَّلِ وَلَا شَيْءَ لِلثَّانِي. If he leaves behind one son and 100 coins, then a man claims that the deceased owed him 100, and the son agrees with him, then another man claims the same, and the son agrees with him as well. If both happen in the same session, the 100 will be divided between them. If they occur in two different sessions, the first man gets the 100 and the second is not entitled to anything. It's first come, first serve. Now, is it possible that the deceased actually owed two different people 100 each? Yes. So when someone came and claimed his debt and wanted to be paid off, and the son agreed, yes, my father did actually owe you $100, we will take the $100 and give it to him. Then another creditor comes by and says, in a different majlis, in a different session, in a different court sort of session. Because if they both came in the same session, then we will divide the 100 between them if the son acknowledged both debts. But if they came one after the other, the first will get the 100, the second gets nothing. Why does he get nothing?
Because the conditions are not
set. Because the heirs are not responsible to pay off the debt of their deceased relative. So, you know, once the tarika, the estate that he left behind, is gone, that's it. No creditor is entitled to anything. What are you going to do to them, to the man? He's dead. وإن كان الأول ادعاها وديعة فصدقه الابن ثم ادعاها آخر فصدقه الابن فهي للأول ولا شيء للثاني ويغرمها له لأنه فوتها عليه بإقراره. If the first man claims that the 100 coins are his وديعة, money he had deposited with the father for safekeeping, and the son concurs, and then another man claims that the same 100 coins as his wadi'a, and the son concurs with him as well, it will all be for the first, with nothing for the second. However, here, the son will have to compensate the second man, since it was his first acknowledgement that caused this man to lose it. Now, if it was a debt that is fi dhimma, that I am liable for a debt, they are not claiming the particular property that I left behind. They are not claiming the particular tarika. It's not that they are claiming that this tarika that I left behind belongs to them. They are claiming that I owe them money. That I owe them money. In this case, they will only get whatever the tarika, whatever the value of the tarika can pay off of these debts, of these many debts. And that's it. Once the tarika is gone, no one is entitled to anything. But in the second case, they claimed, let us say, this building belongs, you know, this building that your father left behind is mine. Okay, and I am the only survivor, I am one son. And then I say, yes, it is yours. I acknowledge that the building is his. He will take the building. Okay? All right. Now, a second one comes and says, this building that your father left is mine. If I acknowledge that this building is his, well, the building was taken by the first claimant. So what do we do here? Of course, we will not give him the building because this was taken by the first claimant, but I owe him the value of this building. Why? Because my first acknowledgement caused him to lose the building. Well, are you sure? You're acknowledging the building to two different people. So your acknowledgement to the second person will be valid, but the building is gone. So you owe him the value of the building because the building could have not possibly been theirs. You know, all the building, you know, it either belonged to this or that, or they have to be partners or something. If you made the acknowledgement, your first acknowledgement made the second claimant lose his building. And if you're saying that the second claimant owns the building, it is actually his, okay, compensate him. Because your first acknowledgement made him lose it. All right, that brings us to the end of this chapter. And this is the chapter on acknowledgement and confession. So I would like to make some confessions and acknowledgements. So I acknowledge that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his last messenger. I acknowledge the perfection of his Sharia. I acknowledge the goodness of our tradition. I acknowledge the need for renewal. Our legal theory has solid foundations and flexible framework to allow for renewal by the sincere, independent scholars that are well-grounded in the tradition. I also acknowledge my ineptness and incompetence. And had it not been for the extreme need in our times for someone like me to be teaching a noble discipline like this, I would have not. So I ask you to pray for my forgiveness for all the shortcomings. And I pray for forgiveness also for my parents and my mashayikh. May Allah reward them, and may Allah forgive them, and may Allah reward you, bless you, and forgive you. قُلُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ يَا لَكُمْ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ وَحَمْدِكَ شَهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.